All right, everybody, we're back, and we are moving on to the executive committee, and the first item that we have on the agenda is an approval to convey an easement to the Glasgow Power Board. And I think, Susan, are you going to present that? Susan Howard?
Well, really all I need to do, Madam Chair, is just introduce Jennifer Tugas. She's been working on the easement, and she's going to go for a couple of slides.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. We have a request from the Glasgow Power Board. If we could go to the next slide. It's the adjacent property, which the little red line leads to, really doesn't have access to power from any other direction. And so the request from the Glasgow Power Board is to allow for an easement of approximately 200 feet for utility boring. It would be 36 inches underground, so you won't see it on the surface. It does cross the property that WKU owns, but it's currently leased by Spantec. Derrick's Road in Glasgow supports the Spantec supports the easement. And that is the request. If there was ever any development in the future that would require relocating the easement or the power conduit, then they would move it at their expense. And so that's the request from Glasgow Power Board. I got the easement language last night. We have some work to do on the easement language itself. But that's the request before the board today.
Do we have a motion to approve the easement?
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. Next, we have Amanda Tribute. Action item two is approval of philanthropic naming request for the Gordon Ford College of Business.
Thank you, Chair West. It is my honor today to seek approval for the philanthropic naming of the new Gordon Ford College of Business as the Amy and David Chandler Hall in recognition of a $7.5 million commitment to the college. Amy Hale Chandler is a lifelong resident of Bowling Green, earning a degree in political science in 1993. Having spent a career in public service, she would go on to make history in 2004 by becoming the first woman elected as Warren County Attorney. David Chandler, he came to WKU from Owosso, Oklahoma, and he earned a degree in science in 1982 before launching a distinguished career in business and civic development, marked by strong leadership and civic engagement. Amy and Dave are fixtures in this community, supporting myriad causes that span child advocacy, financial literacy, and small business development. On campus, they have served the Hilltopper Athletic Foundation, the WKU Alumni Association, the Gordon Ford College of Business Advisory Board, and the College Heights Foundation, to name a few. And this fiscal year, we'll celebrate Dave's 40th consecutive year of giving to this institution, most notably marked prior to today by his investment in the Chandler Memorial Chapel, which opened in 2010. When asked why they decided to support this project, Dave commented, "WKU holds a special place of pride in our hearts. It is where we discovered our passion for business and built the foundation for our future. We are honored to be able to support the construction of the new home of the Gordon Ford College of Business with this gift. It reflects our belief in the power of education to transform lives." Representing Dave and Amy today are two of their daughters, Amy Milliken Thomas, who is a 2020 CHHS graduate in healthcare administration and a 2021 MBA graduate of the Gordon Ford College of Business. She currently works with Franklin Bacon Trust Company here in Bowling Green. We also have Chloe Milliken, a 2024 graduate of the Gordon Ford College of Business and Marketing, and she is a resource development manager at the United Way of Southern Kentucky. Chair West.
Thank you. And I know Abby and Chloe want to say a few words, but we will go ahead and accept a motion first for approval of the naming request.
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion passes. And Abby and Chloe, would y'all like to come forward and say a few words?
Thank you guys so much for the opportunity to come here and represent our mom and stepdad, Amy and David Chandler. On their behalf and ours, we just want to express our sincere gratitude and appreciation for this opportunity, and we're excited to watch it come to life. So thank you guys again.
Yes, we're just so grateful to be here this morning and pour back into the university that's poured so much into our family. So thank you so much.
In the role as president, you get to build relationships with folks, certainly with regents and folks across the campus, but one of the most meaningful relationships that I get to develop are with folks who invest in the institution. And for me, having an Amy and Dave's name on this facility is a terrific symbol of what we do as an institution. Dave will talk about, and Amy will talk about, the effect that it's had on them, their careers, and their lives. But for me, it's also a chance to demonstrate to our students what we do and that what the possibilities that we create for them. Without us, they might not have had the same paths. And so I just think it's a testament to who they are that they continue to invest, but also a wonderful story to tell our students and prospective students about what we did.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll move on to action item 3. And Amanda, again, we have approval of some naming requests for additional requests for the Gordon Ford College of Business.
Thank you, Chair West. In addition to the naming of the facility, I'm pleased to present today an additional 13 naming opportunities. These are all above $50,000 in recognition of philanthropic support of the college. The 13ers Fraternity Classroom is in recognition of a gift from various members of the 13ers Fraternity. The Baird Lobby, in recognition of a gift from the Perry Group and the Vitale Group of Bowling Green, Kentucky. The Barker Family Sales Classroom, in recognition of a gift from Ann and Andy Barker of Bowling Green. The Gary and Gail Brody Classroom, in recognition of a gift from the Brodies of Franklin, Kentucky. The Browning Family Reflection Pool, in recognition of a gift from Craig and Deborah Browning of Smiths Grove, Kentucky. Donald R. and Irene S. Disney Classroom, in recognition of a gift from the Disneys of Ocala, Florida. The Forbes Mazars Coffee Lounge, in recognition of a gift from the employees of Forbes Mazars of Bowling Green. The Franklin Bank and Trust Company Boardroom, in recognition of a gift from Franklin Bank and Trust of Bowling Green. Franklin and Bowling Green. Jimmy Gibson Classroom, in recognition of a gift from Joe and Charlie Reeves of Louisville, Kentucky. The Rick and Ann Gilliam Classroom, in recognition of a gift from Rick and Ann of Louisville, Kentucky. The Houchins Industries Auditorium, in recognition of a gift from Houchins in Bowling Green, Kentucky. The Douglas Gordon Martin Courtyard, in recognition of a gift from Doug Martin of Cape Coral, Florida. And the Suzanne and Steve Reed Terrace, in recognition of a gift from Suzanne and Steve Reed of Franklin, Tennessee. To date, this represents over $13 million in gifts in total that have been pledged or committed to the Gordon Ford College of Business. We have 35 total named spaces in the facility and over 100 alumni and friends who have supported the project with gifts that are going towards the donor wall. And the gifts are still coming in, so we're still counting and are working towards several additional gift announcements prior to the September 19th grand opening. Chair West.
Thank you. And I think we move on to a vote on the naming requests. Do we have a motion to approve the requests?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair West, I'd like to recuse myself. So.
Okay. All opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Great. Thank you. And I think we have an update, Blint, the update, Amanda?
We do. A lot of great news to celebrate today on the heels of these announcements. Thank you all for your approval of these important naming opportunities that are in our new facility. Just a quick update from me for fiscal year 25, which was a great year for our philanthropy and alumni engagement team and the institution as a whole. As you can see here, we've announced over $44.5 million of philanthropic support to the institution this year, which is the highest in institution's history. That was bolstered by this commitment that we've announced today, as well as several other large commitments that you all have heard about in the past few months, which I'll highlight here in a minute. It's about $20 million over the last year, and if you look at our numbers, that $20 million exists in about six gifts. And so, again, I think that speaks to and shows, you know, 83% of our gifts are coming from major gifts. So those are gifts above $25,000. You're starting to see, again, that growing disparity in income and philanthropy. Fewer people are giving, but people are giving more. And so it becomes even more important for us to build relationships and cultivate strong relationships with those that can make these impactful gifts to the institution. Very proud of the work across the university, the president, the College Heights Foundation, our team in the philanthropy and alumni engagement team, as well as athletics, all pitch in together and work together to reach this tremendous milestone for the institution. A few of the gifts I wanted to highlight that we have already announced this year that you've likely seen in the news. First off, there we have Danny Dunn from the Bill Gatton Foundation. We announced a $5.25 million gift from the Bill Gatton Foundation earlier this spring. $5 million of that went to support the Gatton Academy and help our students outside of the classroom in research, applied learning, things that will help them as they pursue their academic endeavors. $250,000 of that gift went to support the LifeWorks organization and continue their support there. Of course, Ms. Dixie Mahurin, you all read recently about our first endowed athletics position for our men's head coaching position. And so we celebrate this life-changing, generation-changing, as Todd mentioned yesterday, investment in our men's athletics basketball program and their investment there. And then Dawn and Irene Disney, we announced and got the match from the state that we discussed earlier this spring. But again, our first deanship at the institution for College and Health and Human Services. So these are three remarkable gifts, two that are very unique and new for the institution that we hope to continue that momentum into this current fiscal year. It's hard to believe it's been almost a year since the Where Opportunity Leads celebration, but we did celebrate reaching our Opportunity Fund milestone this fiscal year, $102 million. We had a great event in the Commons where we engaged with our students. They showed how our philanthropic support helps their reach their goals and their endeavors. Great picture there of Bridget Brody engaging with our Gordon Ford College of Business students there, and we look forward to continue to celebrate that scholarship investment as we go forward. Meet Olivia. Olivia is our new teammate. She is our first virtual engagement officer, and so we were invited back in December to be a part of a research and development cohort with a firm called Givesy. We were one of the first 25 institutions in the country to be invited into that cohort. Olivia is an autonomous virtual engagement officer. She... I love that Mark Morgan presented about the algorithms and all the things we're doing today, and I like to bring that right into our presentation. So Olivia is 100% autonomous and virtual. Olivia carries a portfolio of 1,000 prospects that she reaches out to via text, email. We sent out an introduction video from Olivia to that portfolio to introduce her as their connection to the institution. We're starting to see great engagement. Olivia doesn't take a day off. Olivia never gets sick. Olivia works every single day. And she has, in her 1,000 person portfolio, has already contacted over 60% of that portfolio five times in the last 7 months. So we're really excited to continue to work with Givesy, who is helping us launch this effort and continue to innovate. It's a great way to test out some different markets, some different segments of our portfolios that our in-person gift officers can't reach. So virtual gift officers will not replace our fundraising team. They work alongside our fundraising team. The in-person interactions are very important and will still be very critical to our work. It's a great way to really scale that outreach and that personalized outreach to a wider audience. Olivia's raised over $10,000 to date. And so again, we're very excited. We continue to work on ways to refine her outreach and how she's reaching out to our constituents. So it's been a lot of fun for our team to participate in that. There's about 100 schools now that are in this. So again, you just continue to build relationships, glean ideas from others across the country that are doing this work.
Amanda, yeah. You said a pool of 1,000 and you had touched base with 60%? So 600 and you got $10,000. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. How many like individual people does that represent? Like, how many of those 600 made up the 10,000?
Of the gifts?
Sure.
Oh, I'm not going to say because I can't remember the exact number of people that have made gifts for that 10,000. But we launched around Giving Day, and so that was really effective to do that initial outreach on Giving Day. And so a lot of people made gifts instantly.
Sure.
Refining the way in which she's reaching out, we work with them to help. She's scraping our database, obviously. We're seeding her with newsletters, information, things that would be relevant to the folks that she's reaching out to. And so I'm sorry I don't have that answer for you, but I'll let you know.
It's cool.
Thanks, we love it. I think a lot of people thought that she was like logging into a Zoom talking to people, and I'm like, whoa. Their second annual WKU Day of Giving back in April. And again, just a wonderful day of celebration of the WKU spirit. We raised over $300,000 that day. But it's not just about the amount that we raised. It's about participation. We had 119 new donors on Giving Day. So we placed them into a new first-time donor engagement in order to continue to renew their gifts. You can see a lot of snapshots of the activity we had during that day. We even announced a farm machinery equipment donation with Class, who is a new relationship we have with our farm, and that's going to be an increasing relationship for our farm, and they have a lot of interest now investing in students, in internships, scholarships. So it was fun to announce two big pieces of machinery that are not inexpensive that our farm can afford. We had our ISEC students participate with some videos that they sent out. Our WKU alumni student alumni group was very active on campus that day and sent out personalized videos to all of our donors through our Alumni Helping Students Initiative, which we collaborated with Dean Martha Sales on. Our alumni board had 100% alumni participation that day, which is incredible to give Dean Sales the opportunity to have some emergency funding available to support students when they need that help. So again, we're planning our third day of giving for this spring, so that'll be on March 31st, 2026. Pulse Offer Excellence Awards, second annual. Another wonderful event, sold out crowd. Really proud of our team and the effort to reimagine our Hall of Distinguished Alumni event into this broader celebration of our Hilltopper community. Those are the recipients from this past year. And we'll be excited at homecoming this year for our third annual Hilltopper Excellence Awards, where we will honor former Regent Nichols and Connie Smith from here in town, CEO of Bell Center Health, as our two new inductees into the Hall of Distinguished Alumni. We'll also be honoring Regent Bell and his wife, Kristen, as new honorary WKU alumni for their service to the institution. So that will take place on Thursday, October 30th, as we kick off homecoming week this year. Of course, our WKU Spirit magazine continues to be the flagship publication that we send out to about 65,000 homes. It is full of stories of what's happening with our students, our faculty, our alumni. I'm incredibly proud of the work that our team puts into these two pieces. They are recognized regionally and nationally at the case level for the work that we do. It's a collaborative effort across campus. We work with our communications and marketing team centrally. We work with Bud and the provost office and our academic area to, again, really share the stories that are going to share the good work that's happening here on the Hill and beyond. So what's next for us in 2026? We always have something cooking. We introduced Olivia this year. Our team now is working on a student engagement center. We had over 50 students apply to be alumni video ambassadors, that we are going to hire about 10 of those. And so it's going to be a highly competitive process. We're really excited that they're going to use a lot of digital engagement. They're going to create videos. It's going to be on social media. It's going to engage one-on-one with our donors over an umbrella of an omni-channel marketing effort that will include our direct solicitation campaigns and utilizing our students. We also know that this will help in our enrollment and our admissions efforts as we continue to get more positive, encouraging news out across our channels in the social media channels. As I mentioned, homecoming will be November 1. On the Hill. So we will have a Friday night parade on Halloween downtown. We're working with our partners downtown to think how we time that, given it's Halloween and the engagement in our community around Halloween. Of course, Thursday the 30th, we'll kick off with the Hilltopper Excellence Awards. So teams are planning for that. Once Upon a Hill will be the theme. We're currently working on all the design and materials that will go out with that. Again, we have several exciting gift announcements to come in the fall that we've also worked on in the past few months, and we'll continue to work to raise more on that engagement. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Amanda. Any questions, comments?
I'd just like to congratulate the whole team. My job's really easy. I just show up when that, you know, the table is set, or even after the table is set. So it's a tremendous group of folks, and the partnership also with the College Heights Foundation, it creates tremendous relationships with our alumni and folks who have resources and want to invest. And the thing that sometimes we lose sight of is that in the past 8 years, we've had the 6 largest fundraising totals during that period of time. And so one of the things that we've been better at as an institution of late is growing internal talent, but also holding folks accountable for the work of fundraising. So those of you who know my background and Casey's background is in fundraising. It was my area of research. But what we've done is create, from my perspective, a model system where if you do the activity, the outcome will occur. And to do that, you have to have development officers doing the cultivation, stewardship, and obviously solicitation. We have a program and a system in place now that both grows our internal talent, but also holds them accountable for doing the hard work that actually is development. So I want to congratulate the whole team, but Amanda's leadership for that. And it's produced remarkable successes for our university.
Congratulations, Amanda. Fantastic year. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I move that the board go into closed session as provided in KRS 61.810, subparagraph 1, for the following discussion: deliberation on the future acquisition or sale of real property by the university.
Maybe I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll go into closed session. Ready? Okay, the board has now returned to open session. The discussion of the deliberations during the closed session were restricted to those stated in the motion, and no formal action was taken by the board in closed session. Do we have any additional items?
I move that we authorize a resolution authorizing the university to proceed with eminent domain in regard to such property after a reasonable attempt has been made at negotiating such properties by sale.
Madam Chair, I'd second that motion, and I'll read the resolution.
Okay.
Resolution, whereas the Kentucky General Assembly has provided a $160 million appropriation to Western Kentucky University to replace the current academic complex building, and whereas the Board of Regents has previously been advised of the future site of the new academic complex building within the University Campus Master Plan, whereas several properties lie within the site identified by the University for location of the academic building bounded by property currently owned by the University, and whereas the University is in the process of acquiring parts of that land so situated that are not owned by the university, and whereas the acquisition of these properties by the university is critical and necessary as a site of academic building to
further the university's public purpose and use of surrounding property, whereas the university has attempted and will continue to attempt to negotiate in good faith the acquisition of properties not previously acquired, and whereas if an agreement with the owners of the parcels of real estate not previously acquired not be reached, this is valued based on appraisals from the state's pre-qualified appraisers, the university may proceed under KRS 164-410, subsection 1, in its own name to condemn the real estate properties in the manner provided in the Eminent Domain Act of Kentucky. And now, therefore, it is hereby resolved as follows. Number one, being authorized to do so under Kentucky law, the Board of Regents of West Kentucky University authorized the university to continue to attempt to negotiate in good faith to purchase parts of the property at the site of the future academic complex. In the event the university is unable to contract with the owner of the lands necessary for the site academic building, the university may proceed with condemnation of the properties presented to state law. Number two, the acquisition of the property shall be paid out of the money appropriated to the university. Number three, the president has authorized to take action necessary for that to proceed in the
Do we have any further discussion about the motion? We'll proceed to a vote then. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. The motion passes.
Chair West, if I might make a statement. We remain hopeful that we will reach a mutual agreement with property owners to acquire the property at a fair market value. And while some appraisals are still pending, we're committed to engaging in good faith negotiations with the current owners as soon as those valuations are complete. And I know there'll be some interest, but until those negotiations are finalized, we prefer to keep the specific property locations confidential between the parties involved.
Thank you. All right, that is all the business that we have on the agenda. Any new business? Okay, I think we are adjourned.